skin, revealing the dark circles of her nipples through the linen. She wouldn't look at him, and I pressed my lips to her forehead, trying to soothe her. It was almost like she was scared, and if there was anything I knew about Alex Palmer, it was that not much scared her. I turned back to Will, tightening my hold as I watched him tip his head back and start to lose it. "I'm going to slip," I gasped. He hefted me back up.
"I got you."
I sank my mouth into his, my wet hair sticking to my face and neck, and I wished I was back in that wrestling room with him, and I wouldn't have been so timid. I would have loved him and stayed there with him all night if I could do it over again.
"Kiss her on the mouth," I heard Aiden say.
I looked over to see Alex staring up at him. "I want to kiss you on the mouth." He shook his head, his expression calm, but his breathing ragged. He licked his lips.
"Touch her on the cunt," he whispered, "like that night I watched you on the screen. Do it."
He grazed his hand over her breast through her shirt, barely touching, and her mouth fell open, and I didn't think she was breathing.
"Touch her," he begged, hovering over her lips. "Fuck her for me in the bed."
She swallowed. "No," she whispered. "I do what I want, when I want, and nothing for your pleasure."
"Nothing?" he asked, touching her lips with his fingers. "For him, but not for me?"
She glared up at Aiden. "I feel safe with him. I feel like a whore with you." His jaw flexed, and his fingers curled over her breast like a claw. Her nipples hardened, poking through the fabric like bullets. Will's head collapsed into my neck, breathing hard and groaning, and I could tell he was close. But my blood rushed hot, my orgasm crested, and I was already there. I whimpered, squeezing my pussy around him and holding on for every thrust as my body bobbed up and down, moaning loud and not caring who heard. Part of me hated Alex. She was gorgeous, tough, and everything Aiden said she was in the bedroom. She was more Will's friend than I ever was, and the hardest part was that she was stunning in every way. She had to have been through shit, given her occupation. There had to have been days that brought her to tears, but you'd never know it. And here the rest of us were, hurt and using it as an excuse to destroy ourselves, while she just kept trudging along day after day, getting closer and closer to what she wanted. "What if I want to touch you someday?" I whispered to Alex, but leaned my head into Will, holding him close. "What if I want to kick them out and climb into bed with you? Just us." Will grinned, kissing me without missing a step. What if I felt safe with her too? And she deserved better than how Aiden was treating her. And I wanted her to know that. The lump in her throat moved up and down, and Will moved inside of me, both men watching us and holding us. I gazed at her, droplets shimmering across her skin as Will nibbled the corner of my mouth. "What would you do?" she asked, our heads together again, "if the boys weren't allowed?" I couldn't hide the smile that peeked out.
"Yeah, what would you do?"
Will panted in my ear. I closed my eyes, loving the control they made me feel. "I wouldn't be able to stop myself," I told Will, loud enough for Aiden and Alex to hear. "I'd lock the door, turn off the light, and climb on top of her, sucking her tits into my mouth before spreading her legs and settling in between, nice and warm." Will's body shook as he thrust faster and harder, losing control. And I looked over, seeing Aiden with her pants open and his hand inside, rubbing her through her panties. She clasped his hand in both of hers, like she wanted to stop him, but couldn't find the strength.
"Then what?" Aiden asked me,
but stared down at her, brow etched in pain. "I'd kiss her," I said. "If I were you and I had her under me, I'd kiss her and breathe her in and feel her body pressed to mine as I tasted her."
"You like to taste things," Will taunted me, groaning. "Show me. Show me what you do with her in your mouth."
My belly pooled with heat, and I could feel it seeping out of me as he slid in and out.
"What does she taste like, Emery?"
Aiden panted. I glanced over, the cords in his forearm flexed as he worked her, and her eyes closed, the pleasure taking over. "Warm," I whimpered. "She's warm and soft, and I love the feel of her clit against my lips as I lick between her legs." Aiden groaned, and I could see the bulge in his pants growing larger as Alex gripped his shoulder with one hand.
"Open your eyes," he told her. "Look at me." She opened them, holding his gaze as he fingered her. She widens her knees, I continued, and holds my mouth there because it feels so good. Yeah, she pants, staring up at him as she bites her bottom lip. I turn to Will. I lick her up the sides. I tease him, gliding the tip of my tongue across his lips and flicking the top one as I looked into his eyes. And I tug on her clit, sucking it into my mouth. I catch his top lip between my teeth and drag it out before sucking on it hard and swirling my tongue, playing with him. He growled under his breath, and I flexed my thighs, riding him as he thrust. I'd lick her up and down. I mimicked it on the corner of his mouth, and play with her for hours, licking up how hot she gets, because she likes her pussy sucked. Emmy, Alex moaned, dropping her head back. Jesus, girl. But God, you know what I really want to do? I asked. Will shivered.
What?
I want to fuck her, I panted, nibbling his mouth. I want to drive her wild, rubbing our pussies together like animals, and screwing her until I sweat, because he needs to remember all that he'll be missing when he's sitting like a king at his dining room table someday, alone and dreaming about his naked little Viking straddling him in his chair and fucking her man. Because while he controls all, she controls him. Alex cried out, wrapping her arms around Iden's neck as she shuddered and came. Her head fell back, spray and steam caressing her face, and he held her head, his lips hovering over hers. Iden's eyes glistened, and he moved over her lips, looking like he was going to kiss her and struggling to hold himself back. I bobbed up and down on Will, crashing my mouth down on his, unashamed and unconcerned for the first 15 minutes of my entire life. I didn't care what else happened or how he might hold anything against me. I felt good and brave and high. I rolled my hips, grinding and chasing the orgasm, and then finally, I cried out, shaking and coming, my thighs tightening and my belly consumed in a wave of tingles and shocks. I moaned, holding on for dear life, as the burn in my back started to register from him rubbing my spine against the wall so hard. But he wasn't done, and I wasn't telling him to stop.
"Say his name," I heard Iden tell her.
I breathed hard, heat coursing down every inch of my body.
"Say his name,"
he told her again. I looked over, seeing him still rubbing her and trying to make her come again.
"Please,"
he begged. "Will?" she breathed out, looking confused and still dreamy from her orgasm.
"Again."
"Will," she said. I froze, feeling Will slow as well.
"Again," he told her, "again."
What? His muscles flexed, and I watched him, the same pain etched across his forehead. She stared up at him, searching his eyes. "Will," she whispered.
"Moan it,"
he growled at her, fingering her. She closed her eyes, gasping from breath, as she started to come again. Will stopped, both of us watching them. What was Iden doing? It felt different when I was fantasizing about her, because I wanted him to see her through my eyes. But what did he think he was doing, turning the tables? It wasn't the same.
"Can't remember my name. Just say his," he taunted, picking up his pace. "Dive deep into your head where I don't matter, because you've already done it 100 times, and I was always watching you come, you slut."
She started sobbing dry tears, and he leaned in, moving rougher over her pussy.
"Come on, moan for him. His dick feels so good."
Will softened inside me, and I dropped to my feet, suddenly cold.
"You didn't just fuck him," Iden told her. "You were close. He feels for you."
I let my eyes fall, and Will tried lifting my chin, but I jerked away.
"Emmy,"
he said. They were close. Maybe he felt for her in a way he and I could never be. That perfect trust. Friends.
"Come on, say it," he urged. "Will, Will, Will."
She shoved him away, slamming her palm against his face, and Will shoved him next before pulling up his drenched jeans. Iden slipped his hand inside Alex's panties, but he had pulled it back out before she could shove him off again. He held up his glistening fingers to us, showing us how wet she was.
"While you've been buried in this," he told Will, "she's been sad and sorry." His eyes flashed to me, and Will stood there frozen while Alex quickly fastened her pants.
It's plain as day who really suffered during your time apart, he bit out. She owes you nothing.
I couldn't look up at Will, and part of me didn't want to stop Aiden either, not because he was going after Will, but because he always found a way to make me less entitled to my guilt. He was like a power-up, which was a weird turn of events, because I thought for sure he would be chaining me to his bed by my neck when we met. Maybe if I'd grown up with him instead of Martin, my entire world would have been different. He left the shower, dropping his wet clothes on the floor and tying a towel around his waist as he walked back into his bedroom. I left my clothes there and walked out too, throwing Will's hand off when he tried to grab me. I wasn't mad. I didn't know what was wrong. I just wanted to get dressed now. Wrapping myself in a towel, I left the bathroom and walked for the door, but Aiden's voice stopped me.
Emery, come here, he said.
I looked over, seeing him just inside his closet, pulling clothes off the shelves. He tossed me some red boxers and a black t-shirt, and I caught them, lamenting the loss of my bra on the shower floor now. The water stopped running, and Will and Alex walked out of the bathroom, wary with their eyes on me. Will's eyes dropped to the items in my hands and then back up to me.
Come here, he ordered.
I darted my eyes to Aiden without even thinking.
Don't look at him,
Will scowled at me. But I remained rooted, hearing Aiden's calm voice.
Do what you want, Emery, he told me. It's okay.
My heart splintered a little more, and I looked away, shaking my head. What I would have given for Will to say that just once. Or my brother. Someone to guide me. I didn't realize how much I'd missed it from my life since my parents were gone. If Will or Martin had given me freedom, I would have wanted them more. That was all he had to do. He just had to let me come to him, like the homecoming dance. It just took me longer to figure things out. I didn't dive into anything head first. I didn't seem to know that. Had to hand it to him. I understood why he was the alpha now.
Emery,
Will said. I didn't move. I'd undressed and I clutched the clothes, my legs charged, to just head back to my room.
Em,
he said again in a lower voice. Tears filled my eyes, and I heard a quiet chuckle come from Aiden.
Mike and Rory are drunk by now, he told Will, and you're going to leave without the only thing you want.
Me. Aiden pulled his t-shirt over his head and met my eyes.
You happened to him.
Nothing happened to me. I wasn't a victim, and this was the last time I'd hesitate. I pulled on the shorts and rolled them over a couple of times, and Aiden walked out of the room as Will's eyes bore a hole in my back. I didn't even have my shirt on yet before Will charged out of the room, slamming the door against the wall on his way, and I whipped my head around, looking at Alex. A crash hit the floor downstairs, and a moment passed before she shot off, running after them. I threw on my t-shirt, pulled off the towel, and flipped my wet hair back out of my face as I ran out of the room. I looked left and right, not seeing anything, but a scuffle hit my ears, and I leaned over the balcony, seeing Aiden with Will in a headlock on the floor of the foyer. Shit. Alex rushed in, but Will shot out his hand.
Don't, he yelled. Stay back.
She halted, and I hurried down the stairs as Will and Aiden rolled over on the floor. Aiden strangling him, and Will struggling for air. Stop! I shouted. Will laid on top of Aiden and threw his head back, trying to hit Aiden with the back of his skull, but the other man jerked out of the way just in time. They both scrambled, their dark hair wet and messy, as Will flipped over and tried to get a hold of Aiden's neck. They shot out their legs, tumbling to the side, and the candelabra toppled over, the candles rolling to the edges of the room. The men wrestled, and I shot my hands to my hair, trying to figure out what to do. Will could wrestle. What was going on? And if he couldn't beat Aiden, why had he gone after him? Enough. They were both getting locked in the cellar tonight. I ran into the drawing room and pulled the long arm off the wall, an antique from World War I, it looked like, and dashed back into the foyer, stepping in and kicking Aiden off Will. He fell back to the floor. But before he could dive back in, I pointed the gun, the bayonet pointing right at his neck. Enough! I yelled. I'd forgotten my glasses in the shower, but I could see Aiden's cocked eyebrow well enough. Will shot off the floor, coming for him again, but Alex grabbed him by the jeans and smacked him over the head. I fought not to laugh, because that's how funny all of this was. Grown men. I didn't have time to do more, though. Taylor, Micah, and Rory arrived on the scene, wet from the pool, and their eyes darting between all of us. Taylor's gaze finally settled on me with the gun pointed at Iden, and in a blur, it all happened. Will charged for Taylor. Iden scurried off the floor and threw himself at Will, and the next thing I knew, Taylor had grabbed the gun, ripped it out of my hands, tossed it, and gripped the back of my head with one hand and threw a punch into my stomach with the other. My insides tried to push through my spine. Vomit rose up my throat, and I coughed, dropping to my knees. Tears filled my eyes as everyone, blurry in front of me, scrambled to separate Will and Iden. Taylor lifted me up and slammed me against the staircase, squeezing my jaw between his fingers and hovering over me.
"I've been waiting for this," he gritted.
My body racked with pain, and I sucked in air, trying to catch my breath as the inside of my mouth cut on my teeth. But he was pulled away. Someone grabbing his hand, bending his finger back, and bringing him to his knees as he cried out. I blinked, gasping as Iden grabbed the gun, propped it up on the floor for leverage, and shot the bayonet down, slicing off Taylor's pinky finger. I widened my eyes as blood spurted, spilling onto the marble, and everyone stopped, their attention caught now. Taylor screamed, but Iden didn't waste any time. He hauled him up, threw him over his shoulder, and headed for the back of the house.
"Bring Will, too,"
he shouted. "Huh?" I looked between Rory and Micah, who both looked unsure, but then Rory gritted his teeth and moved first, grabbing Will. "No!" Alex and I shot forward, reacting, but Micah pushed us back, protecting Rory. "What the hell?" Micah helped him, both of them force-walking Will and following Iden as Alex and I trailed. I grabbed the gun on my way, sweat coating my body as I watched Alex swipe a candlestick. We were both armed now, a trickle of blood gliding down my blade, and Taylor's finger on the floor somewhere. Why had Iden done that? Taylor was his lapdog. "Iden, please," I begged. "Where was he taking them?" He opened the door to the cellar, descended the stairs with the boys, and we chased, jogging down the stone steps to see them throwing Will on the ground as Iden tied up Taylor's wrists and slung them over a hook above his head. Blood poured down his arm, and he breathed hard, his face twisted in pain. Next, he moved to Will, but shot a glance to us.
"Hold them,"
he ordered Micah and Rory.
"No!"
We raised our weapons, and they stopped in front of us, the confrontation at a standstill as Iden squatted next to Will. He laid there, blood dripping off the corner of his mouth, his eyes cast down, and making no move to fight more.
"What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Alex was right. Will could take these guys. My God, this hurt more than the pain in my gut. I couldn't watch.
"I like you,"
Iden told him, unknotting some rope.
"I didn't think I would. Life has a weird sense of humor, you know. I watched you with her at parties. I'd see you with her at restaurants. Then, lo and behold, you show up here. Our new inmate."
Her? Alex? I straightened, a thought taking form in my head. It was strange that out of all the people in the world, they wound up in the same place. Two men who both knew Alex. One who clearly resented the other for it.
"Remember when you asked me if I could get things other than alcohol and cigarettes?"
he questioned Will, and I gulped. No, he had Will brought here, either for revenge or to take him away from Alex. Oh my God. But then suddenly Iden turned and jerked his chin, gesturing to me instead. What? My heart dropped into my stomach, and Will gritted through his teeth.
"You son of a bitch."
I stepped forward, dropping my weapon. "Me?" I said, but I already knew the answer. "You brought me here?" All the enemies and all the people who had something against me if they knew my secret, and it turned out to be someone I'd never met? He didn't sentence Will to Black Church. He smuggled me in for revenge. Iden's eyes fell, and he tightened the rope around Will's wrist.
"I want him to know what this feels like," he murmured, "to watch the one woman it physically hurts to look at because you want her so much.
give her time and loyalty and love to another.
He glared over at me.
I want him to feel this.
Alex stepped up next to me, and I could hear her breathe. Then why not try to seduce me? I charged before she could say anything. What was with all the Big Brother shit? He just chuckled.
The only thing more powerful than the heart is the brain, and it was so much more useful to get into your head than into your bed.
I shook my head. Or maybe you didn't want to take me away from Will, but Will away from Alex. Maybe she was the one you wanted to hurt.
He shrugged. Either way.
The room fell silent except for Taylor's shaking. I looked over, not that worried about him, but Aiden was going to have to help him, close the wound or something. My hand shot to my hair. He brought me here. But that meant he also gave me the knife. Did he think that was going to be enough protection? The floor above us creaked, as well as the wood in the walls, and I smelled smoke in the air. But then thunder cracked overhead, the lights flickered, and I raised my weapon again, opening my mouth to speak. But Aiden spoke first.
You both will stay down here, he told Will, and if Mike and Rory know what's good for them, they'll fall in line.
He turned to the guys, ordering them.
Take the women to my room, he told them, and then looked at us. I'll be up to see you ladies in a while.
I tensed.
Maybe they'd like some exercise tonight, he said,
staring at Will. I'll take them to the pool.
Party of three.
His voice lowered, but I could still hear the smile in his tone.
Maybe Emmy will play out that little fantasy of hers and put Alex to some good use, the way everyone else has.
I lunged. Will? Micah grabbed me, and I dropped the gun, shooting my palm up to his fucking nose as Alex shot out and caught Rory's arm, spinning him around and shoving him into the wall. He headbutted the stone, and I dropped down, picked up my bayonet, rushing to Will. But Aiden was there, stopping me and taking me in his arms, wrapping them around me like a steel band and holding me hostage.
Wendy, Wendy, he taunted. It's true, then. One girl is worth 20 boys, it seems. So glad you're on my team.
His mouth came down on mine, his scruff and sweat grinding against my lips as he moved over me, stealing my breath. Will, I grunted, a sob lodging in my throat as I pressed against his blood-soaked shirt and tried to twist my head away. Oh, God. And then a whisper came in close, calm, hard, and deep.
You're not Peter, it said.
I blinked my eyes open in time to see Will standing right behind Aiden, the ropes suddenly gone. Slipping an arm around Aiden's neck, Will grabbed his wrist, pulled him off me, and yanking his arm so far back that Aiden cried out, forcing him to the ground. In one quick motion, Will brought down his foot at the joint where Aiden's arm met his shoulder, and a pop pierced the air, Aiden's howl echoing throughout the cellar. I gaped at Will, who'd just brought Aiden to his knees in less than 2 seconds, not even losing breath. What the hell? I muttered. Alex and I stood there as Will stared down at Aiden's form, a serrated knife in his hand and the rope around his wrists severed. Where had he gotten that knife? He inhaled a deep breath and straightened his back, cutting off the rope bracelets, sheathing the knife, and sticking it back into his pocket. Will? I stepped forward. He shook his head, telling me to keep quiet, as he glared at the man on the brick floor. Aiden shot up, but Will swung his fist down, landing right on his throat. I narrowed my eyes, able to do nothing more than stare at him and blink. Aiden gasped, hunching over, and too disabled to speak or even breathe. Will circled him as Taylor watched, and Micah and Rory stood frozen, clearly not sure what was happening.
I was in prison, Will said to Aiden. A real one. Did you actually think I didn't have any of this under control?
Aiden looked up at him, a worry and puzzlement I'd never seen in his eyes until now.
I waited, Will continued. I was prepared to be as patient as possible to get you to follow.
He dropped down, hovering over Aiden as he gripped the back of his head and delivered 2 punches to his face. Aiden's nose spilled with blood, and he reared back and hit Will, throwing him off and crawling away until he could scramble to his feet. They both faced each other, widening their stances, and Aiden charged Will, throwing his body into his stomach.
They crashed back onto the floor, and I lurched forward, but Micah shot out his arm, stopping me.
I want to see this,
he said. I darted my worried eyes to Will. His skin flushed and sweat pouring down his back, he rolled, hit, kneed, kicked, and did everything with rage in his eyes. He wasn't taking it like he had been since I'd been here. This was Will. Bloody and breathing hard, he punched Aiden in the stomach and rose, sending a hard kick to his head.
It would have been perfect, he growled. You know that, teaming up, being equals. But I didn't want to win you over with fear. I didn't want to control you with violence.
Aiden tried to get his legs under him, but he kept falling back to the ground.
I wanted to be important to you, Will told him. If I were important to you, you'd follow me anywhere.
Follow him? What was Will talking about? Why did he want Aiden to follow him?
It would have been perfect, because you're one of us,
Will panted, circling his prey.
But it seems I have no more time to waste on you. It seems I didn't anticipate you had your own agenda with me.
Meaning me, and Aiden bringing me here. He sniffled, wiping the blood off his face.
Rory.
He jerked his chin to the supply of rope sitting on the table.
Micah, help him.
They tied up Aiden, who was too exhausted and beat, barely kicking and thrashing as they secured him. Will called us.
Alex, he said,
standing back and watching them.
Emery.
Alex immediately went to his side, but I stayed rooted. A fire lit behind his eyes.
I will raise hell and reduce this house to ash if you act like this is a choice for one more second.
He bellowed at me and then pointed to his side.
Now!
I jumped, tingles throbbing between my legs, and I clenched my teeth, walking over to him.
All this time? Aiden breathed out. All these months and all the fights? All the times you lost? It was on purpose? You don't have what it takes to be me,
he told Aiden, his deep tone sending chills up my spine. Oh my God. He'd faked it. He'd faked everything. He was working the house for some reason, slowly turning everyone on his side. And he'd put up with months of this shit because he wanted Aiden's loyalty. But he didn't want it through force. Micah and Rory finished and came over, standing with us as everyone stared at Aiden on the floor. Will loomed front and center like an oak rising, and I swore I had to tip my head back to look up at him at my side.
You can come with us, Will told him. I don't want Dinescu, but I'll take you.
Alex stood on Will's other side, a flash of pain in her eyes as she looked at Aiden. But Aiden just laughed bitterly.
Kill me,
he said. Will stood there another moment, absorbing his answer as the thunder cracked again, and I started to back away, everyone slowly following. The boys turned and darted up the stairs as I watched Alex strike her feet, the distance between her and Aiden like nothing as the heat of their look grew. You wanted me, she told him, backing away from him. He nodded, his hands bound to some rusty piping as he sat on the floor.
Now I just want to win.
She shook her head. You've already lost.
Not yet, he retorted. I do know where you're going, love.
The hair on my arms stood on end, and she hesitated a few moments as his words hung in the air. But then we both spun around, darted up the stairs, and slammed the door behind us. Alex, don't, she said, and I could hear the tears in her throat. I already forgot his name. We raced upstairs, a thick stench hitting me as we pushed through the door. I inhaled. What the hell is that? Hearing commotion, we ran back toward the foyer, instantly halting as flames engulfed the drapes on the windows, rising to the ceiling and spreading onto the walls. Oh, Jesus, Alex cried. I looked for Will, spotting him rushing out from the kitchen with a fire extinguisher. The heat baked my face, and I stumbled back as he tried to put out the flames. Those damn candles must have been lit when they knocked them over. Will! I cried. We had to get out of here. It consumed the foyer, and I tipped my head back as I coughed through the burn in my throat, seeing the flames stretching so much higher than we could reach. There was no stopping this. Will! I called again. But he sprayed the door, extinguishing the fire around the frame. Alex shot past me, up the stairs. What are you doing? I yelled after her, seeing flames flicker on the edges of the steps. My satellite phone, she yelled. It's in the secret passageway. We need it.
Alex, no,
Will bellowed. I shot off to go after her, but then I heard a crash against the front door, and I stopped. Alex stopped halfway up the stairs, and I turned around to see Will standing still. Another crash racked the walls as smoke engulfed the entire room, and I blinked my eyes against the sting, trying to see who was coming through the door. They had to have security nearby. There was a fire alarm going off somewhere, I'd bet. Another pound, and then the door flew open, the smoke gushing out the door, and I spotted black arms and legs coming into the room through the clouds.
Will!
Someone shouted. I squatted down on the floor, pulling Will with me so we could breathe, but also, is that security? I asked him, trying to see through the smoke.
I don't think so.
I'd be glad if it was, but also, they might just transfer us all to another black church, too. I wanted my weapon.
Will!
Another voice, this one also male, called.
Where are you?
Why were they just calling for him and not the others? Will Grayson? A woman shouted next, coughing. My ear pricked. Something familiar about that one. And Will sucked in a breath next to me.
Oh my God,
he whispered. He shot to his feet, pulling me up by the arm.
Here,
he shouted. Alex came running down the stairs as figures dressed in black moved through the smoke, and I saw three tall men with paracord draped over their chest and carrying duffel bags.
What the hell did we bring paracord for? Kaimori said, looking to Michael Crist. Thought you told us we were going to have to scale the walls and shit.
Michael just smiled and grabbed Will by the neck, pulling him into a hug. Will tensed like he was shocked, but after a moment he exhaled.
Came for me after all, huh? Always,
another voice said. I looked as Damon stepped through the smoke, laughing as he dipped down, pressing his forehead to his best friend's. A woman came up, her blonde ponytail draped over her shoulder, the top of her head covered in a black ski cap. Erica Fane? Let's get the fuck out of here, she said, and then looked over my shoulder, calling, Alex! Alex rushed forward, brushing past me and crashing into Rika's arms. You made it, she breathed out in a laugh. Erica nodded. Worried? Alex chuckled. No, course not. Everyone started to rush out the door, but Alex and I hesitated, looking back through the smoke, toward the back of the house. Wait, she shouted. There's more back there. Everyone rushed back in the house, but the fire had drifted down the hall, splintering off toward the kitchen and then right toward the pool. We rushed up to the flames.
Emmy!
Will yelled.
Emery Scott, I heard Damon say. Alex, you didn't tell us she was here.
But no one had time to explain. I peered through the fire, trying to see a way past, but I couldn't find a path. We couldn't leave them there to burn. Alex and I tried, stepping left and right and trying to get through, but strong arms pulled me back.
Take her,
Will ordered. The next thing I knew, I was being swept into someone's arms and over his shoulder, and I screamed, trying to thrash my way free. I could walk.
And don't put her down, Will growled. She likes to not cooperate.
Motherfucker.
Lev!
Someone called. And then I heard someone say David and murmurs mentioning Aiden and Misha. Where were we going? We left the house. Rain splattering my body as the foyer grew smaller and smaller in my vision, and more of the house came into view. The fire reached the upstairs windows, an orange glow filling the rooms behind the curtains, and I stared as far into the foyer as I could the farther away we got, hoping for Aiden to make it, waiting to see a glimpse of him. I didn't want him to die.
Give her to me,
Micah growled. I was pulled off someone's shoulder and into Micah's arms, looking over and seeing that Michael was the one who had been carrying me. I snarled at him.
I got her,
Micah told him. Michael nodded and ran ahead, and as soon as he was gone, Micah dropped me to my feet, holding my hand as we ran with everyone else. I looked over my shoulder, stumbling. The greenhouse was separated from the main house, not that I cared about the snakes, but that was a rotten way for any living being to go. They should be safe, though. We ran through the woods, and I barely noticed the cold as the thunder roared over us and the rain spilled heavier.
Where are we?
Will asked them.
You'll never guess,
Damon told him.
How long will it take to get home?
Will prodded, and everyone just laughed, whatever that meant. We raced through the trees, and I gasped for breath as my legs turned to rubber under me.
"Micah!" I pleaded for him to slow.
But he just pulled me along, and then I saw it, through the trees in the distance. I squinted, trying to blink away the blur that was always there. I needed my glasses. Shit, was that a train?
We scurried over the rocks and leaves, past the tree line to a train spanning to my left and right on tracks as far as I could see.
Did Iden know this was here? They all must have known. We hadn't run that long, maybe 10 minutes.
Maybe he thought it was abandoned.
Everyone ran to a car in the middle, and I looked at the beautiful black steam engine, old but well restored. Curtains hung on the inside of the windows, and the engine chugged a steady rhythm.
"Go!" Erica shouted. "Go now!"
Everyone climbed into the car, and I looked behind me one more time for any sign of Iden or Taylor.
"I do know where you're going," he'd said.
I didn't even have to act like I didn't know either. Back to Thunder Bay.
"Close the doors,"
Michael shouted, and hung out the door, waving, probably to the conductor. We all piled in, some dark-haired woman grabbing Will's wrist and cutting off his bracelet with a bolt cutter. She planted a quick kiss on his cheek and then moved to Micah and Rory, severed theirs from their wrists and tossing them all out the window. The train moved under us, and I swayed. But before I could even look around or figure out who the other women were, someone grabbed my arm and whipped me around.
"You hesitated,"
Will growled, black streaks covering his body from the fire.
"In the cellar, you hesitated, again, and you were going back for him when you never came back for me, ever."
I flinched, remembering minutes ago when he'd told me to come to him. He saw it as me taking Iden's side. I saw it as me standing on my own.
"Will?"
"After everything you've done to us, you hesitated,"
he yelled, his face twisted in anger. Everyone surrounded us, standing silently, and I felt the heat of their eyes like I was a mouse and they were snakes circling me.
"What are you talking about?" Damon asked him. "What do you mean, to us? What did she do?"
I stared at Will, shaking my head slowly, begging him, "Not here, please, not here, not now." He straightened and drifted backward a couple of steps, finally having me trapped exactly where I deserved, and savoring this moment.
"She's the reason we all went to jail 7 years ago,
he told them.
Chapter 32. Emery. 7 years ago. A few months after the attack on Martin Scott.
"Hey," Thea called out, entering our room. I looked up from my desk, seeing her whip off her Mia Wallace wig and toss it on our futon couch with the adrenaline needle she'd made me plaster to her chest earlier tonight. Her boyfriend was supposed to complete her Pulp Fiction theme by going as Vincent Vega, but they got in a fight an hour before, and I let her go to the party alone. Like a jerk. "Hey," I said, smiling at her makeup smeared everywhere. "Have fun?" Judging from the lipstick across her cheek, Vincent must have found her and they made up. But she just shrugged. "Eh, I don't remember." I snorted as she skipped over to me, the beer on her breath hitting my nose. "But I thought of you." She held out a small jack-o'-lantern, already carved with a toothless happy face. I stole it from in front of a frat house on my way home. I laughed, taking it. "Thank you." "Man, I lucked out with roommates." I shook my head, setting the pumpkin on my desk. After I'd graduated last spring, I convinced Martin to use my college fund to put Grandmère in the nicest home money could buy, because I didn't need it. With a scholarship thanks to my stunning designs around Thunder Bay, showcasing how you can make a ruin still functional while keeping its character, I didn't need my college fund. What I didn't cover with the scholarship, I got in loans. Screw it. I had wanted to handle her myself, but he had power of attorney over her care, and that wasn't changing. He agreed when I outlined the perks of having the house to himself finally, plus the respect and admiration of people thinking he paid for her first-class care of his modest civil servant salary. I called her every day, and I hadn't spoken to him since I'd left after graduation. I interned in San Francisco for the summer, snuck into town in late July to visit her, and then promptly left again to move into my dorm. "You should have come," Thea said. "For once, just say yes." And then she moaned loudly, "Yes, yes, yes." There were no shortages of parties and fun at Berkeley.
But in the 2 months since school had started, adjusting to a new set of people and new surroundings proved harder than I thought it would be. Which was stupid, because I didn't think anyone would agree I'd particularly adjusted to Thunder Bay, either. And I grew up there. I was kind of homesick. "I ruined the fun," I told her with a half-smile. "Trust me." I took out a pack of matches from my drawer and lit the tea light still inside the pumpkin, the warm glow peeking out of his eyes and mouth. We weren't supposed to be lighting anything in the dorms, but they'd never know. I turned off my desk lamp, the darkness making the flickering candle a little spooky. Thea undressed and then pulled on her robe, grabbing a towel in her shower caddy. "Happy Halloween," she sing-songed, leaving to take a shower. But I spoke up. "Devil's Night." "Huh?" I turned my head, seeing her grip the door handle. "Tomorrow is Halloween," I told her. "Tonight is Devil's Night."
"Like in The Crow?"
I broke out in a laugh. "Devil's Night, Mischief Night, Cabbage Night. I forgot most of the world outside Thunder Bay and maybe Detroit. Had never heard of it before, other than in the movies." She leaned over, looking at the clock on her own desk. "Well, it's after one," she said. "It's Halloween now." She stuck out her tongue and then left, heading down the hall to take a shower. Touché. I took off my glasses and rubbed my eyes, closing my textbook for the night. Wrapping a rubber band around my flashcards, I tossed them on the desk and picked up the lid of the jack-o'-lantern and put it back on. I stared at its face. "Emery Scott loves Will Grayson," I murmured. My throat ached with tears. I'd never told him I loved him. Emptiness had spread through my insides over the months, and even though it made me feel stronger every time I looked away from him this last year at school, proud that I was surviving him and Martin and Thunder Bay, I never felt like I was winning. The longing just grew, and if he walked in here right now, I'd let him pick me up, and I'd wrap my legs around him and not stop touching him the rest of the night. My arms hummed with the need to hold him. I looked up at the Godzilla on top of my supply drawers on my desktop. I'd done the right thing, right? I hadn't wanted him to know what was happening in that house. I had to cut him loose. But I did regret not trusting him. Whatever I had to lose, I'd lost already. I should have told him I loved him, and it wasn't his fault, and maybe someday. I dried my eyes and picked up my phone, tempted to call or text, maybe to apologize, I didn't know. But if nothing else, maybe he was in Thunder Bay tonight. Maybe he'd come back from Princeton to celebrate, even though he hadn't come back home last year while I was a senior. Or maybe he wasn't home and everyone else carried on the tradition after the horsemen had left for college. I wanted to see home. Logging onto Instagram, I searched hashtag Devil's Night and clicked on recent for anything posted tonight, and images and videos assaulted me all at once, my heart starting to hammer as their faces popped up immediately, swarming the page. I smiled, warm everywhere as I caught a glimpse of his smile in one square and his beautiful face, a little thinner than I remembered, with eyes piercing the camera in another. I caught sight of Michael's red mask, Kai's silver one, Damon kissing some blonde in the shower, but then I spotted a video running in one of the squares, and my brother in the background. I grabbed my glasses, putting them back on and holding the phone closer to my face to study the video. What was this? Guys in black hoodies and masks beat my brother as he hung by his hands in a dark room. The light from the camera phone shone on him, blood streaming down his face and his dark hair matted and sweaty. My head spun. No, no, no. I glanced at the door, worried Thea would be back, and grabbed my earbuds, plugging them into my phone and clicking the post, turning up the volume. "Ah," Martin growled, his face etched with pain. One of the men in black approached him, and I perked my ears to try to hear, but all I heard was mumbling between them. After a minute, I heard Martin's dark laugh, and I winced, remembering that sound. This was from when my brother was attacked this past summer. He'd tried to tell me, but I'd refused to answer the phone, only hearing about it from my grandmother. He'd been hospitalized for over a week, but I hadn't given a shit. He'd been lucky I wasn't praying for his death. One of the men in black lost control, and I sucked in a breath as I watched him pummel Martin, bringing down his fist again and again, my brother's silver badge glinting in the light. Jesus. I didn't have to see his face to know who it was. Another one came from behind the camera and started in, the first guy turning around, facing the camera, and my heart sank as I watched him lift his mask. Will, no. He smirked and flipped off the camera, the bile rising up my throat as I scrolled the comments. So many. The video was everywhere. It was everywhere. Everyone knew he'd done it. Oh my God, I mouthed. Exiting out, I scrolled, seeing a video of Damon and Winter Ashby in a shower together, making out or something. And I clicked out of it and reported it to Instagram. She was a minor. What the hell? Who'd posted this shit? Had someone gotten a hold of their phone? The first video was posted an hour ago from a ghost account, by the looks of it, and the only person I wasn't seeing was Michael in any of them. I pulled out my earbuds, dialing Martin and checking the time. After 1 a.m. here, so it would be after 4 a.m. in Thunder Bay. He didn't answer, so I called again, still getting no answer. I hesitated a moment and then tried Will. Again, no answer. God, he might not even be awake yet. I sat there, my phone starting to buzz as the world back home started to wake with the news, and old classmates probably wanted to be the first to alert me about the video with Martin in it. I inhaled and exhaled. It would be fine, right? They'd get out of this. But even saying it, I knew it wasn't true. Whoever loaded the videos wanted a trial by public opinion. Even if they escaped without a charge, this could get them kicked out of their schools. It would undoubtedly embarrass their families on a massive scale. Michael. Why wasn't Michael in any of them? Whoever posted the videos had the phone. Michael would be on there. He was pretty much the leader. And slowly, realization started to crystallize. Either it was Michael who'd posted them, or someone who didn't want him embarrassed, or his family embarrassed. I barely breathed, too many thoughts trying to come up my throat all at once as my brain started to finally catch up. If anyone had half a mind to, there would be no way to ignore their behavior if someone shared those videos in the right place. You know? Can you imagine the embarrassment? Oh no. I closed my eyes, exhaling a single breath. Fuck. The cab crawled into Thunder Bay hours later, barely able to go more than 20 miles an hour with all the people cluttering the streets. It looked like Mardi Gras, only no one was smiling. Cameras, news crews. Will was going to be the center of this. His grandfather was a senator. We entered the village where Styx was packed with people and the sidewalks covered. Everyone wanted to be where the action was, and even kids were in the middle of it. This was all my fault. God, what had I done? After I'd failed to get a hold of anyone, I hadn't even stopped to throw anything into a bag. I just dressed and dragged Thea out of the shower to take me to the airport since she had a car. I couldn't get a flight out until 6 a.m. my time, and it was now after 6 p.m. Thunder Bay time. I'd been able to see bits of pieces on my phone during my layover in Chicago. They'd been arrested, and Martin was probably in heaven. I looked around, people I didn't even recognize walking the streets. I swallowed a few times, trying to generate some saliva, but I just wanted him out, back at school where he belonged. Will. But then I smelled it. The fire. I turned my head, looking around, and my gaze stopped, seeing the yellow tape on the hill. My stomach dropped. Stop. I breathed out. The driver kept going. Stop! I yelled, digging in my pocket for the cash. The car halted, people talking and yelling outside the cab. I threw the money over the front seat and jumped out of the car, racing across the street, through the crowd. I gazed up at it as I climbed the small incline. The wood charred, the roof collapsed, and debris everywhere. My gazebo! Why? Who? I spun in a circle, looking around the village and noticing the wood bolted over what used to be a display case at the front of Fane, the jewelry store. What the hell happened here last night? Tears wet my eyes, but I quickly wiped them away and charged back down the hill and across the street, pushing through the crowd of people until I felt like I couldn't breathe. I'd built that. Nothing else seemed burned. Why that? Like they had to erase me from the town. I started running, taking a right down a quieter street and racing to the police station. I swung the door open, pushed through all the people inside, and shoved my way through the partition, heading to the offices in the back.
Emery!
Someone barked, but I ignored him. Probably a cop to tell me I couldn't just barge in. Emmy? Another person shouted. I dug in my heels, slamming my hands into the double doors and charging over to my brother's desk. It was empty. I looked at Brian Baker coming back to his desk with a coffee. Where is he?
In the John, he said, taking a sip. Have a seat.
I set off, heading down the hall and charging into the men's room. Sweat covered my back, and I breathed hard, about to explode. This wasn't his day. He wasn't going to win. Martin stood at a urinal, the rest of the room apparently empty. I glared at him as he turned his head slowly, looking me up and down. But he didn't seem surprised to see me. A scar stretched across his jaw as he spoke.
You disappoint me, he said, turning back around and finishing up. Of all the things to drag your ass back to Thunder Bay for, you came back for this.
He zipped up his pants and fastened his belt.
You didn't come back for me when they put me in the hospital last summer.
Let them go, I demanded. He just chuckled, turning around and heading to the sink. Turning on the faucet, he pumped some soap and lathered his hands. I stepped up. The video is a fake, I stated, remaining calm. Someone spliced in shots of their faces. After all, who would be dumb enough to show themselves committing such a heinous crime? He cocked an eyebrow, listening to the story I'd pieced together on the plane right here. I folded my arms over my chest. I mean, why wear masks in the first place? The Graysons, Morys, and Torrances will pay for any expert you need to back up that story. And I'm sure they'll be very grateful for your willingness to show their family's support. He rinsed his hands, a smile playing on his lips.
And Griffin Ashby, he pressed, am I supposed to ignore the justice he wants for his daughter?
She's 16, I growled in a low voice. Not 12. That law is laughable. Damon didn't force her. No one thought he did. That video was evident. Sure, he was kind of sleazy sometimes, and he was really good at coercion. Maybe he took advantage. She was blind, so... My brother certainly wasn't anyone to ensure justice for young girls. These charges won't stand. I inched closer. All you'll accomplish is making yourself the enemy. Grabbing some paper towels, he dried his hands and listened, too at ease. Why was he so calm? Even if he were confident, Martin didn't like me talking back to him. What was going on?
The town is in shreds tonight, he mused, looking at me with a gleam in his eyes. Have you seen the streets? Their heroes are dead. It's beautiful.
He laughed again, tossing the towels into the trash.
I got each one of those little shits in a cell. Except Christ. Maybe my patience has paid off. I just need to be a little more patient.
What the hell did that mean? Did he know who posted the videos? Was he in on it? I'm going to tell everyone the truth, I said. I'm going to tell them everything you did to me. Will Grayson and Kai Mori will be heroes. He stepped closer, and I retreated a step, bracing myself. But then he said,
Come with me, Emery. I want to show you something.
He walked past me, out the men's room door, and I couldn't fucking swallow. Fear curdled in my gut. Too calm. He was never this calm. I spun around and followed him out the door and farther down the hall. He didn't bat an eyelash at anything I'd said. Was he really going to charge a senator's grandson for giving him the beating he deserved? Opening a door on the left, he walked into the dim room, and I stopped, looking inside. There was a glass partition and a table on the other side, handcuffs wrapped around a set of fists. I drifted in, Will coming into view in the next room as he sat secured to a table all by himself. Kai and Damon, nowhere to be seen. I rushed up to the glass, pressing my fingertips to it. He looked like shit. But that bergamot and blue cypress wafted over me as if it were yesterday, and he were right next to me. My chest shook, taking in the bags under his eyes and the smile that was no longer there.
I'm going to tell everyone you're in love with him, Martin said. You'd say anything to protect him. I'm sure I could find witnesses to corroborate a time or two you both were all over each other. The cove, the school bus, was it?
I stared at Will. I knew someone must have seen us that night racing through the parking lot.
Do you have proof of your allegations?
Martin asked. Witnesses? Photos?
I curled my fingers into fists as Martin came to my side and looked at him, too.
He burned down your gazebo, Em.
His tone was steady, planned.
He's been fucking everything with a skirt, snorting anything that'll fit up his nose, and drinking everything that promises him sweet oblivion for the past 2 years, he told me.
I clenched my teeth, locking my eyes on Will. Look up. Just let me see your eyes.
And you still want to be his whore, you fucking slut,
I growled. Their lawyers will get them out of this, I said, cutting him off. This entire town is on their side, and whoever isn't is on their father's side. No one wants to see them pay. He chuckled and then sighed.
It's the ones closest to them they can't trust the most.
What do you mean? But he just kept staring through the glass. What does he know? Who uploaded the videos? I demanded. He just smiled to himself. Something was going on, more than just some fuck-up of someone getting a hold of that phone. I looked at Will again. He sat back in his seat, staring at the table, something vacant in his gaze. He burned down my gazebo. He hated me. He didn't want to have to look at me anywhere in this town. My eyes watered, but before I hardly had a chance to notice, Martin shoved an envelope at me. I took it. What is this? I opened it up and pulled out the document.
I can't handle it anymore,
he said.
She's yours now. You want to be free, you're free. Take her.
What? I skimmed the paperwork. My grandmother's power of attorney transferred to me, and all I had to do was sign. This was the one thing he still had to hold over me. The only thing that kept me in his life. Why would he turn her over? Then give me my money, too, I told him. I couldn't care for her without it. But he just smirked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I shook my head. Her nursing home was over $7,000 a month. Even if I quit school and worked 3 jobs, I'd never be able to pay that and support myself. And I didn't have the money to take him to court. God knows where he could have hidden the rest he hadn't used. It was gone. Walking over to the table, he picked up another envelope, this one white. He ripped it open and pulled out whatever was inside, tossing it onto the table. Pictures spilled, fanning out, and I recognized the Polaroids instantly.
Found your stash behind the coffee table books.
He raised his eyes, meeting mine, and I stood there, squeezing the docs in my hand, because I couldn't squeeze his neck. He picked up a photo of me, the one with the bruises on my ribs from when he'd kicked me when I was 15.
You know, it does make me feel a little badly, he said, looking at all of this together like this makes it look like you really went through hell.
I'd thought about taking the pictures with my phone, indestructible with the cloud and easy to send and receive digitally. But he checked my phone, so I documented the abuse for a rainy day with an old Polaroid camera for a while. In the beginning, when I thought I was smart and I could use it if I had to run for my life. I'd stopped keeping evidence by the time I was 17. By then, I just held on with every thread I could muster.
I was aggravated at first, when I found these.
He circled the table, picking up another and studying it.
But everything is an opportunity, isn't it?
I narrowed my eyes, the papers crinkling in my fist.
I'm not going to take your advice, he said,
throwing the pick on the table and sliding his hands into his pockets.
They'll be charged, but the DA will suggest a plea bargain.
Fuck you, I gritted out. They won't plea shit. They'll always win.
I almost think you want them to.
Against him? Hell yes. Whatever they did beyond that was none of my concern. I was leaving town tonight. I wouldn't be able to keep Grandmère at Asprey Lodge, but I'd work hard enough to afford something decent in San Francisco. All that mattered was that we were free. Martin approached me, pulling his phone out of his pocket and tapping a few buttons. Then he handed it over, but I didn't take it as I looked down and watched someone in a white mask with a red stripe, Will, rear his arm back and launch a bottle of liquor affixed with a burning rag at my gazebo. The camera shook, but I heard the glass break and then flames burst everywhere, the zoom coming back out to take in the whole scene as my work was consumed in fire. I turned my eyes away, looking at Will through the glass.
It's over,
Martin said.
The end of an era. They'll plea. They won't fight the charges. And you're going to help me make sure they don't.
I shook my head. That would never happen.
They'll go away for a couple years, he continued, just long enough for me and my associates to get a hold on this town, and then they can come home.
And what makes you think they won't fight this?
I pressed, turning my gaze back on him.
You're fucking insane.
Because if they do, he told me, inching in, I'll be forced to air a much darker scandal. They victimized women in high school, assaulted them, beat on them, forced them into the catacombs to satisfy their deviant desires. They're not boys. They're devils.
I laughed under my breath. He was insane. I'd be the first to admit they abused their power, but after helping one of them hide a body, I knew now that people were more complicated than that. Everything used to be black and white until I realized that was just my perspective. I judged, because thinking was too hard. They weren't evil.
Not all the girls will come forward, but we have one on record.
He walked to the table and spread out my selfies as if it were evidence,
and I'm confident more will follow.
I watched as he pushed a paper across the table and laid a pen on top of it. I picked it up, reading it.
She'll sign that paper, attesting to the validity of her claims, he instructed,
and I stopped breathing, starting to understand.
Even if there are no findings, the accusations will be enough to ruin their lives.
I skimmed the statement, detailing how the guys roughed me up and forced me into the catacombs at St. Killian's and hey, here were pictures to prove their abuse. Oh my God, he was going to pass my pictures off as evidence against them. I wish you would die, I said, tears filling my eyes.
But I can make all this go away, Mr. Morey, he went on, and Mr. Torrens and Mr. Grayson. They fucked up. They're young. They'll serve some time, get out, and move on with their lives. It will be as if it never happened. The girl will be satisfied. I can keep her quiet, perhaps with a small monetary donation to sweeten the deal.
I forced down the lump in my throat. No, he could try it, but it would never happen. I'd never let him use me like this.
I mean, this is actually a blessing, he continued. If she's allowed to speak out, it could get so much worse for your sons.
Fuck you.
Sign it.
Fuck you. He grabbed the back of my hair and shoved my head down to the paper, sticking the pen in my face. I growled, pushing myself away from the table.
Sign it and you're free,
he bit out as I backed up to the glass, my eyes burning.
You don't have to feel guilty. I mean, what's on those videos is only a small fraction of what they've done, Emery. How they've taken advantage of the people here, let their money and family names save their asses time and again.
I whipped around, staring at Will still sitting at that table. Where was his lawyer? I won't hurt you. I shook with sobs. I'll never hurt you again.
Just think of all the women he's had. Martin pointed out, all the life he's wasted as a burden on his family, never doing or living for anything important, for anything larger than himself. He's taken, Em. All he does is take. He fucks and screws and forgets about you.
I closed my eyes, about to cover my ears.
They deserve some consequences. You know I'm right. They did commit crimes.
No, if it happened, it happened. But I wouldn't help Martin send them to jail.
Those videos weren't the only ones on that phone, you know, he pressed. If they were poor, they would have been in jail a dozen times by now.
I stopped, my pulse ringing in my ears. Phone.
That's what they used to document their pranks, right? He asked. A cell phone?
I looked over at him, my cheeks wet with tears. He shrugged, feigning sympathy.
If more videos were to surface... He tisked, continuing, arson, assault, robbery, grand theft auto, breaking and entering, sexual deviances. I can only imagine the videos lurking out there somewhere that haven't been posted yet.
My stomach sank, and I rose, standing up straight as I gaped at him. The vomit churned and I almost dry heaved. No. Pulling something off the table, he handed me one more piece of paper, and I read the check for over $37,000 made out to me.
The balance of what's left, he told me, and you have the power of attorney transferred to you. All you have to do is sign. You can take her, and we never have to see each other again. You'll be able to pay for top-notch care, and they won't even know it's you in the photos. Your full face isn't in them anyway, and it won't be on the unofficial statement I take to them.
I stared at the check.
He was giving me what I wanted. I could move my grandmother to somewhere close to me, pay for her care for however long she had left, and my education wouldn't be interrupted. I set my palm on the glass, feeling warmth where everything else was cold. He had a point, right? I'd heard that Will was messing up. Even his last year in high school, I heard he was getting high all the time. Would he clean up his act unless he were forced to? I just wanted to go to school and take care of my grandma. I deserved for good things to happen. I'd fought long enough, and if I didn't give in and agree to this, he might go to jail anyway and for longer. What if Martin knew who uploaded the videos? What if he were telling the truth and he could get them to upload more? I clutched the thin piece of paper, everything I wanted, one signature away. One signature I'd never make. "I want you to die," I whispered. He stood there quietly.
"You know what life is like inside a one-star nursing home?" he finally asked.
I closed my eyes, seeing Damon Torrance with his hand wrapped around his mother's throat, and I could damn near feel it. I wanted to know what that felt like.
"Sometimes the patients will have bruises they shouldn't have, or they'll find the elderly lying in their own waste for hours," he went on. "She doesn't know what the fuck is going on half the time anyway, so she won't care."
My blood boiled, every muscle inside of me tightening. "You're bluffing," I breathed out. "Even you wouldn't do that to her." I saw him turn toward me out of the corner of my eye.
"She was transferred this morning," he told me.
I whipped around to face him, and then I screamed, shoving him in the chest with both of my hands and then running in to knee him between the legs. "Motherfucker!" I yelled. He collapsed to the ground, and my body moved of its own accord. I couldn't stop it. I swung my leg back to kick him, but he launched up and grabbed it as it came in and yanked me down to the floor. Gripping the back of my head, he grabbed a fistful of the flesh at my waist and crushed it in his hand. I cried out and dove in, biting his face. He howled, and I swung, slamming him across his jaw before he grabbed me by the collar and slapped me across the face. I whipped around, my body crashing back to the floor, and I coughed, scrambling to my feet as the sharp sting spread across my face. Swinging my leg back, I kicked him in the head, not hesitating a moment before I did it again and again. The taste of copper filled my mouth as blood spurted from his mouth, and he tried to sit up on his knees, but he just fell over again. "He'll never lay a hand on me again." Unlike Damon, I knew how to really hide a dead body. Pulling the chair out at the table, I sat down, silent tears blurring my eyes and blood coating my teeth as I reached over and grabbed the statement and then the pen. Clicking the button at the top, I looked up, gazing at Will through the glass. I could tell myself all sorts of things to make this okay. If they weren't who they were, they'd go to jail anyway. I was saving them, actually. More videos coming to light would increase the charges. They did commit crimes, and there were tons more no one knew about. But the bottom line was, this was wrong. I scribbled my name at the bottom of the statement that would convince their families to accept the charges in order to not risk more charges. I shoved it across the table, stood up, and grabbed the check and power of attorney, walking to the window as shame made me look away from my reflection in the glass. "Some of us will always be casualties," I whispered to him, rungs on a ladder that others climb. He looked up suddenly, and it looked like he was looking right at me, like he could see me. "Some people can't stop what happens to them," I said. "They're just born in the wrong place, wrong time, with the wrong people." Will deserved his vengeance. I'd just thrown him under the bus to buy my grandmother's last days. "I'll expect you," I whispered to him. I felt my brother rise from the floor, sniffling and grunting. I turned, not looking back as I walked for the door.
"Safe trip home," Martin choked out. "You'll never see me again."
I threw open the door, not bothering to clean up the blood on my face as I left the room. "I'll see you again. Will would be coming for both of us."
Chapter 33. Will. Present. "We put Rika and Winter through what we did for nothing," I growled. "We spent years thinking it was about the fucking videos, and it was about you. I did that to my friends. I brought you into their lives." I didn't give a shit about the story she'd just told us.
I knew it wasn't her idea. I knew she had no beef with us. She just didn't give a shit about me. How could she let anyone think I did those things to her? I stepped closer. "Do you have any idea what prison feels like?" I said to her, as Alex and I stood in our soaking clothes and Emmy dropped her eyes, her hair in her face. "You could have done anything. You could have come clean and told me what you did. You could have come to me before you signed that damn paper, and I would have had your grandmother sent to the best home in the country." My voice grew harder again as I shouted, "My parents would have paid for your education. You never had to do anything alone." It had been years. If she felt badly about what she'd done, it would have eaten away at her enough by now that she would have owned up. But no, I'd found out through my grandfather, who, of course, knew it was all bullshit. I couldn't believe he, my parents, and Kai's parents didn't tell us 7 years ago. But they probably knew we'd battle it and just wanted us to take the lesser sentence instead of taking any chances. Everyone stood around, silent as the train whistle rang in the air outside, and I watched her chin tremble and the lump in her throat move up and down. "What, are you gonna cry now?" I taunted. "You gonna cry?" Again? I'd fucking give her something to cry about. I could understand the position Martin put her in. I sympathized. But my God, was she blind? All she had to do was tell me, lean on me, ask for help. That was all she ever had to do. "Look at what you made of me," I said, inching forward and slapping my chest of tattoos that depicted home and all the life I'd lost even before I went to prison. "You made me into this," I screamed in her face. "You!" She flinched, but just then someone pushed my ass back, and I stumbled, looking up and meeting Micah's eyes. He slipped in between us, Rory joining him, and both of them inserting themselves between Emmy and me, and staring at me like a warning. "What the hell?" I tipped my chin up, glaring as my guys, now stood in front of her instead of behind me. "Unbelievable." Peering between their shoulders, I met her eyes once more. "I reached for you," I told her. "In my head, all these years. Even after you dumped me like trash and I couldn't fall out of love with you no matter how much I drank and snorted, my brain reached for you always." She remained frozen, not faltering as she stared at me. "When nothing gave me a reason to get out of bed, my friends were falling in love, making babies, and I felt so alone." I choked on the tears in my throat I wouldn't let loose. "What do you think was the only thing that made me keep breathing?" My tone hardened as I clenched my jaw. "In my brain, I reached for you. I never stopped reaching for you." And she let her brother tell my family that not only did I not love her, but I passed her around for my friends to abuse like she was nothing, when she was everything. I hardened my voice. "Get the fuck out of my face," I gritted out. "And it's fine if you want to get the fuck off the train, too. Go, run back to him." "I won't reach for you anymore." She stood there a moment, her eyes darting around the people in the room and probably wondering something dumb like how she was going to save her pride or some shit. But then, she turned and walked away, still dressed in Iden's t-shirt and boxers, as she slid open the door and slipped into the next compartment. As soon as she was gone, silence sat like a 10-ton weight in the room, no one speaking. But then, after a few moments, someone spun me around and threw her arms around me, all of my friends crowding around me as Winter hugged me. "Are you okay?" she asked. "What happened in there? Why was she there?" I couldn't talk right now. I could barely draw in a breath. Misha pulled me away and yanked me in next, squeezing me so tightly. "What can we do?" he asked. "What do you need?" And then Damon. "You sure you're okay?" I held up my hands, sweat seeping out of my pores and my stomach rolling with them so close. "I can't." I backed away, trying to get space. "Just, I can't right now, okay? But Michael grabbed me anyway. Are you okay? I growled, yanking away. Don't touch me! I shook my head, the room spinning. Don't! All right, he breathed out, hands off. I'm sorry. They all stopped and stepped away, falling silent. I could feel their eyes on me and their looks between each other, because they didn't understand, and I couldn't get into it right now. I rubbed my eyes, smelling the familiar scent of the cellar on my hands from the rope I'd tied Iden up with. Iden. I held my nose between my hands, breathing in the house. I wasn't ready. I should still be there. I shouldn't have left. I gotta make some phone calls, I said, turning and heading for the door and leaving them. We were at least 5 cars from the engine. Hopefully Emmy was hiding her ass somewhere I wouldn't have to look at her, because I was so mad I could strangle her right now. Your name is on your cabin door, Ryan said, finally speaking up. There's clothes in there. I slid open the door, wind and the sounds of the wheels on the tracks rushing through. But then Winter spoke up before I could step through. Why would he do that? She asked. I stopped. Who? Banks asked her. Martin Scott. I let the door fall closed, quieting the room and remaining a moment. Winter continued. If what Emery said was true, why would he work so hard to make sure you all went to jail? Money does the walking in Thunder Bay. Your presence, or lack thereof, wouldn't make his career. I listened, everyone silent as the words hung in the air. Banks spoke up, figuring it out first. Unless he's working with people who have power, people who wanted you in jail. My stomach coiled tighter and tighter. You heard what she said, Kai chimed in. He had plans for Michael, too. And then nothing. Michael never got fingered for anything. Because Trevor didn't want his family embarrassed, Misha said. Because Evans Chris didn't want his family embarrassed, Rika said instead. I closed my eyes, not surprised at all. My friends picked up on things without missing a beat. Motherfucker, Michael said. It wasn't about Will, or his hatred of Will. His grandfather was coming up for re-election that year. He almost lost because of the bad press. And Kai and Damon? Banks pressed. No one said anything, and I finally spoke up. Evans knew that Schrader Fane accounted for Damon in his will. As executor of his estate, he would have known who Damon really was. If he planned on marrying Rika to Trevor, he wouldn't want to share the fortune with Damon, and by extension, Gabriel. And Katsu Mori was forced to step down from the boards of Mitchell and Young and Stuart Banks, Rika explained. Both of which helped finance Evans's real estate projects over the next several years. Which my father might not have been inclined to support if he'd still been on the boards, since he hates your dad, Kai said to Michael. It had all come together. The past 7 years spreading out before us in a maze that took all of us to complete, but finally made perfect sense once and for all. The amount of people who had played us like puppets for their own end, and the amount of time I wasted being ignorant of all of it and floating with the current. I almost wish I could go back to the nights at Delcor and fucking with Rika when we thought it was all her fault. How simple it was then. Alex, Rika said. You okay? I looked over my shoulder, realizing Alex hadn't spoken since we boarded. She leaned into the windows, arms folded across her chest and staring off. After a moment, she nodded, but didn't make eye contact, the usual square to her shoulders in an unnerving slump. Only 3 of you came on board, Damon said. Where are the other 2 prisoners? Our research said there were 5. But neither Alex nor I answered. I stared at the dazed look on her face, completely defeated. She'd never see him again. But just then, she pulled herself up straight, cleared her throat, and cracked her knuckles. I need to spar. Now. Rika or me? Banks asked. She shot off toward the door where I stood. "I'll take you both." She passed me and left the car, followed quickly by the girls, with Winter's hand locked in Rika's as they all followed Alex. I hesitated only a moment before I opened the door again. "I need to make those calls," I said, leaving. But Michael's voice rang out behind me. "Is anyone from that house coming for us?" But I didn't turn back or answer. Aiden Kadir was problem 653, and I was only on number 4. I ended my 4th call, setting the phone down as I rose from the chair. I was still in my semi-wet jeans, but instead of heading into the shower or changing into the suit laid out for me on the bed, I turned and stared out the window instead. The night passed by quickly, the sea on the horizon calm and black as I ground my fist. Martin Scott was dead meat. He deserved to rot in an unmarked grave in the middle of the woods where he'd be alone and forgotten. The hell he put Emmy through. I was angry and disappointed with her, and I'd never look at her again, but as much as I hated to admit it, maybe I understood how she thought she didn't have any other choice. Her only unforgivable mistake was the years of silence since. She should have stepped up and sought us out. How did anyone live like that? I didn't want to make her suffer anymore. I just wanted her out of my life for good. It was obvious now that we weren't right and that she wasn't one of us. I was ready to live. A knock sounded on the door, and I tensed, hearing it immediately open behind me. "Hey," Misha said, and I heard the door close. I drew in a deep breath and exhaled, his presence making me feel like the walls were closing in. We were always close, despite the age difference, but I hated that he'd gotten tangled up in this. He never liked drama, and he hated my friends. And I'd been without him a long time. Too long. I turned and studied him,